improve your alertness.
Senior Focus.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Currie, and I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And today I'm just updating you on a few things that are happening in our region. The council is proposing updates to the cemetery and crematorium bylaws, and you have an opportunity to let them know what you think. So there is a discussion page that you can read about the proposed changes, and these are really to allow things to be more uniform, to be more the same in different parts of the region, and to allow staff to offer a better service. I don't think they're not hugely structural changes in terms of where cemeteries are located or anything like that, but I do think everyone's got their own interests and their own particular experiences which they may want to feed back. So it's important that activities that involve scattering ashes and the kind of spaces that you can do that and sort of agreements and guidelines that exist at the moment, all that sort of stuff is being looked at. So I think that if you have an interest in this, you should make your way to your local library and get hold of the proposed updates and have your say. And you can go online and do this as well. But for those of you who prefer to look at the print first, rather than going online first, you have that option by using your library. So it's just an advance warning on that. The closing date is the 23rd of February. Now, death cafes have been something that's been experimented with in other countries, and I've noticed that recently, last year, a group that is concerned with creating compassionate communities actually set up death cafes in conjunction with Mercy Hospice in libraries and had regular sessions. That these sessions go for an hour and a half, and they are well-directed group discussions about death. They have no agenda or objectives or themes. It's an opportunity for people to explore how they can better prepare for their final passing and the way in which things get carried out. So their wishes can be included in documents, and their friends become aware of what they want. So having an activity group like this, it's not for profit, it's accessible, it's respectful, it's got a confidential space, and there's no expectations. It's not costing anything. You don't meet again. This is a once-off discussion group. And they hold them in my local library between 2 and 3.30 on a Saturday. So that's the update there, and they are monthly. So there were ones coming up on the 15th of February and the 15th of March and so on throughout up until July. And I'm not quite sure how widespread this is and how many libraries are involved, but you can talk to your local librarian and find out more information. So Death Cafe is the name of the activity. Now, it's important at this time of the year with kids going back to school and people wanting to help grandchildren with stationery costs and uniform costs and sometimes parents struggling with the budget, it's important to have a discussion about how we can help kids who get anxious at the beginning of the school year. There's enough anxiety on the part of the parents with the budget without the kids being anxious as well. So settling in a new class or with a new teacher, new routines, sometimes it's a new school, sometimes it's a new classroom block, sometimes it's a new route to get there. So there's all sorts of particular hurdles and opportunities for people to get wound up. And I'm just wondering at this point about the role of grandparents, because quite often they are less harried and rushed. They are more neutral. They see more different sides of the picture, and they can help a child sort through the pluses and minuses of particular choices and activities that they may want to decide what they're going to do when they're faced with having to choose a sport or a hobby or something like that. There are many situations in which it can allow people like the harried parents a bit of space, an opportunity to perhaps take off some of the extra stress, uplift the situation into a kinder and more, what's the word I'm searching for here? More of a problem-solving adventure than an angsty, conflict-ridden drama. So there's choices in how we face these things, there's choices in how we unpack them, and small steps often, breaking down, using a problem-solving strategy is a great way to go, because it means the kids stay involved, they actually stay actively working through the problem, and in doing so, that's setting them up well for life, for facing challenges in life. Because I think today, with modern life, the pace of things, the fact that children get driven around in cars to school, the fact that many decisions are actually out of their hands, they're not actually as actively involved in solving problems themselves as former generations were. I think of the way I got to school on my bike, the way I made choices about sports and music activities and so on. I didn't have a lot of adult involvement in that. I managed that myself. And I'm sure that gave me great strength in life, because I trusted my judgment. And I had experiences that didn't work out, and I had to work my way through those. But mostly it was done off my own bat, sometimes talking it through with a friend, but often it's not. It was simply a problem-solving process, even listing the pros and cons. I'm doing this or doing that. And so I got quite good at this. And I felt those sorts of challenges I could step up to and take them in my stride. And that's the way we want kids to be able to face things, not having a drama every time something crops up. And I guess anxiety these days is a different issue than it was in my day. We know from the research of COVID times that our teenagers in particular, but even younger children, have shown huge anxiety about change in their lives, about eating, about going to school and preferring to actually stay home and not go. There are just so many areas in which this anxiety has manifested, and it's been quite a difficulty for parents, because in many cases the parents have become anxious too, and their anxiety is feeding the kids' anxiety, and it becomes an ingrained thing. And this is where grandparents come in, and being able to smooth things out and being able to lower that anxiety is response in both the parents and the children. Just bringing people back down to earth, maybe by simple things like learning to do deep breathing, just taking in a deep breath and pausing and counting to four, and just teaching them something simple like that. Maybe instigating a routine where you go for a walk in nature once a week, and that becomes your kind of chill-out zone. And yes, you might encourage conversation, but sometimes kids don't want to talk. They just want to be able to be still, and that opportunity to have that in nature is something that I think we have at our disposal in New Zealand and most parts of the country. Even a city like Auckland, we still have beautiful trees and parks. We can get there. We can do these things. It's just whether we choose to do them or not. And that's where busy parents don't make those kinds of choices, but grandparents, provided they are mobile, have got a lot more capacity to move into action and make those kinds of choices, stick to the situation, and just allow things that are free and available to be utilised as a way of providing that wonderful comfort zone. So when you're thinking about how could I step up to help my grandkids this year, yes, you can motivate them. You can have those conversations to help them think carefully about setting goals and about setting their sights a little bit higher and those sorts of things. Yes, those can come. But in the initial stage of the year, when the anxieties are at the highest, just that walk in nature, just that opportunity to share a fun laugh, and maybe have a quick game of Scrabble if they're older, or maybe it's Snakes and Ladders if they're younger. You know, just fun times that don't carry a lot of angst, and then allow them just to be themselves. And when you can have that laughter and that gaiety and that togetherness, it builds a resource. And then when they are in trouble or in difficulty with something, they feel much more comfortable about coming and asking you for support and help to sort things out. So looking at resources around, there are a number of more structural helps or more structural supports available than there have been in the past. And I noticed that the medical clinics, the doctors have now got health coaches. They've now got professionals who can deal with issues around anxiety or addiction or problem solving. They whether problems with eating, they can all be unpacked. And these roles, these health coaches and these support folk, they are free. They are funded, obviously, under the health budget, but they are free to you, and they're free for your grandchildren, and they're free for your grandchildren's parents. So it's a matter of raising it with the receptionist or the nurse or the doctor and stating what sort of help you think you'd like, whether it's somebody to go with you to WIMS to help you get some more support financially with the school uniforms, or maybe it's you want to get some professional help with changing eating habits or diet or sleep You want to encourage children and better sleep habits. All these kinds of things are available and they're free. So I'm wanting to let you know that because that's a new change and a new development that you may not be aware of. Most of the people I've raised it with haven't known that it's available. So I really encourage you to just have a look, even at the CAB. If you're going to the library with children, helping them change their library books, just have a look at what the CAB people have on their brochures and what's there, because you will see that there are brochures about this around. And to check out on the these people that are available offering free wellbeing support through your GP and your medical clinic, you can check online at www.aklwellbeingcolab.co.nz. But you'll probably find it easier to ring your clinic and just talk to the receptionist, or talk when you're next in the clinic. Now, the one thing that I've been doing over the summer is doing a lot more reading. And I just thought I'd share with you, in case you're running out of topics or books that you might be interested in, I'm just going to just tell you the ones that I found really exciting. So Nikki Pellegrino, I'm reading Marry Me in Italy and enjoying it very much. And it's a light read. It's not taxing, but it's still enjoyable. So that's my pick of the summer books that I've been dipping into. And now with Becky Manawatu, the fantastic author of Awe, she has eclipsed her efforts in this latest book, Katarina, and that's a much deeper, taxing story, but it's definitely an excellent fiction book to tap into. Now, there's also an interesting book by Monty Sutar, Kawai, Tree of Nourishment, and that's something that I have got put aside to begin. I haven't actually started on it yet, but it comes very well recommended. So I'm just saying that's what I'm up to. If you've got any books that you found really exciting and rewarding and you want to tell us about that, we're always keen to hear from you. You can email us on seniorfocus104.6fm, all lowercase, at gmail.com. So we love to hear from you, and any ideas you've got for future programs and so on, we're very open to responding to your requests. Now, one of the people that I watch and follow is a wonderful woman, Chelsea Preston Crayford, who is not only a very clever and successful actress but in films, but she's also a screenwriter and has produced a number of fabulous results. And her particular achievement, I think, in the last year has been to play the role of Detective Inspector Anais Mallory in the crime series A Remarkable Place to Die. Now, that was really one of my best watches. I'm not a great TV fan, but it was one of my best watches last year. And I, in fact, could stand to look at it again. It was just so well acted, and the beautiful scenery in Queenstown, of course, is the backdrop in Wanaka, just makes it so rewarding. She is the daughter of Dame Gaylene Preston, and her father is Jonathan Crayford, who's a well-known musician, composer and so on. So the film that she's working on currently, Caterpillar, is about three generations of women living together and all at pivotal life stages, and they're bumping up against one another. She's drawn, of course, heavily on her own life experience of growing up with her mother and grandmother, but this is actually completely fiction. So, as her mother commented when she was watching one of the tapes on the screen, she said, it's crazy because none of it happened, but all of it could have happened. And that really sums it up so well. I suggest you look out for films by Chelsea Preston Crayford and have a look at the things that are upcoming where she's screening as characters like Dark City and A Remarkable Place to Die. And Dark City is a series based on a novel by Christchurch crime writer Paul Cleave. So in that she played Melissa, the woman who becomes a rival psychopath to the story's star serial killer, Joe. And if you're into crime writing and you're into that sort of a film, then you would find that really very entertaining. Of course, she's famous for the film about her parents in World War II, Home by Christmas, which won so many awards, and some of you will have seen. Her partner is Guy Montgomery, who's a comedian and has had quite a following in Australia. And their nine-year-old child, Olive. And so that series of relationships is very nurturing for Chelsea. And there's quite a lot about this in the latest Listener. So if you do get hold of the Listener that has the Hunger Games on the front page, and look in the entertainment series, you'll see there's quite a quality article there about films that she's involved with and acting she's involved with and her relationships. So she will be on our screens this year in more ways than one, and we look forward to having the post-production phase of the current film, Caterpillar, finishing and coming to fruition. Now, in our program this year, we are looking ahead at trying to foster intergenerational activities, because there's a lot of research now showing that loneliness is one of the serious problems facing people on our planet, and in particular people living in Aotearoa. And what is standing out in the research is the number of younger people who are experiencing loneliness, acute loneliness, where the emotional pain is significant. And we're thinking this is people 15 to 25, even as high as 27. So that period of life where people are transitioning into young adulthood and into deciding what they want out of life and what they want to put into life. To be alone and to not have friends or not have regular friends is making that challenge a much more difficult one. In the same way, people transitioning through different stages of ageing in their post-60s, 70s and 80s, increasingly decade by decade, as they're losing friends who are dying off or shifting away, they're finding it harder to deal with their loneliness. But when they come together, they are finding that they've got much more in common than they thought. And really, it's only an accident that we have chosen to separate people off into age brackets for activities. We don't have to do that, and there are many societies that have operated in the past very successfully that have been intergenerational. In fact, I'd hazard a guess and say that most that are successful actually are intergenerational for most of the work that gets done. That's the way people work best in society. And in fact, Sometimes it happens by accident rather than by design, but when it does, it usually works out very well. Well, we're planning to do things by design, not accident. So we're planning to look at some ways that we can generate discussion groups, panels, and actually have some of them on air, but some of them will not be on air. Some of them will be off-air activities. Of course, Heritage Week is one that is easy to get funding for and easy to find ways to generate things of interest quickly, and we can tap into existing groups and existing channels for publicity. So that's some time away. That's a few months away in October. But right now we're looking at March and April, trying to do a pilot. And we're also working towards connecting with digital seniors and making sure that the young people that become involved, they can actually be part of the digital side of things, of sharing some of the outcomes. Confidences and confidentiality will be part of it, so people won't be sharing their stories directly on air, but we will be able to select some of the best stories, changing names and so on, and then communicate those. So we have got plans afoot to do all this, but we would like anybody who wants to become involved to get hold of us. So if you have an interest in anything that I've just said, please send us an email, seniorfocus104.6fm@gmail.com, because we really want to hear from you. And it's material coming from real people who are got something to contribute that's going to make a huge difference to how this works in practice. Next week we will have Alex Bonham taking the session, and it would be great to have Alex back with us this year. And she is dedicated. She's going to be in our studios once a month. And we're on the lookout for one more broadcaster. And we would like to have a man who brings a male perspective on ageing into our mix. And so I put that thought out as well. If anyone's listening and would like to contribute, please get hold of us. Now, I can also be contacted on 027-301-6202. And it's by text or is best, because it doesn't matter where I'm recording or when. I won't have my phone on, but I will be able to respond to your text very soon afterwards. So in whatever's happening over your Waitangi weekend, you would have had most of it and enjoyed most of it and participated by now. I sincerely hope that you have taken time out to be able to find out what's going on in your local communities, in your local marae, how people are gathering together to share on their national day, so we're over the whole weekend. I know there are some fantastic things going on, and again, we will share some of the exciting things that we've become aware of this week in future sessions. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to having you next time.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.